We are Steve and Jill. Together, we've been buying and reselling land since the 90s.
Our data-centric approach leaves our buyers asking, how can you sell it so cheap?
Here on the Land Academy Show,
we answer that and more.
Steve here. Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Steve and Jack Butella, broadcasting from sunny Southern California, as you can see back there. Today, I talk with our senior manager of Land Academy, Aaron Spence. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, how are you?
Good. You know, we just talked about right in the pre-show how you're such an interesting guest on the show because we have members all the time, probably once a week. God knows we know Jill's opinion on everything. But you have a very unique perspective in that, you know, you're the top person at Land Academy, and you're kind of on the front lines day to day dealing with customers, brand new Land Academy customers, people who are buying and selling land, and then people who, you know, like some of the senior advanced members of our group.
Definitely.
You probably don't hear from too much, but when you do, it really counts.
Absolutely.
So maybe you can share with us the maybe top two or three or five concerns of new people. And then if and when you ever do really hear from like our advanced group people, what do they have to say?
Yeah. So as far as new concerns go, I mean, I would say the biggest thing, our members are so brainy, and you know that. They're so smart. They think about everything. They analyze everything, and that's also their downfall. And we call it analysis paralysis. But the biggest thing is, you know, people will just come to us and say, like, I don't know if I'm ready. And it's really just them standing in their own way, and they're rethinking it, redoing pricing, you know, going over every little piece of it. That's definitely the number one thing we get. And the number, like, we have people calling all the time about that. So once people get over that hump, like, that's really the big thing.
So the number one thing is, am I ready yet?
Yep, 100%. You know, and then
it usually play itself out. I mean, you don't sit and convince it, right? From a sales standpoint, you just say, let us know when you're ready. Or what do you
think? Yeah, and we kind of just say, you know, like, you are ready. You've been through all the programs. You've done everything. Like, I promise you don't need to test your phone lines more. Like, just send out mail. And usually people are okay with that point.
You know, the show tomorrow is called How to Get Over Your Fear of Making an Acquisition Decision. It's really funny.
Didn't even look that one up.
I mean, I have to tell you, it's a very natural concern. I had it when I started with back in the 90s. I probably spent 6 months staring at a computer screen wondering if it was going to work at all. And I didn't have, like, any working examples.
Yeah, 100%.
So what about the senior people?
You know, when I hear from the senior people, it's usually they want to talk to you about partnering. That's what I'm hearing right now.
Okay.
So, yeah, the senior people have, you know, gone, done all their things. I usually don't hear from them for months and months and months. And then they come back and say, like, hey, I just had $1 million a year and I want to know how I can work with you guys.
Wow.
And that's been happening a lot more lately, especially now that we have the advanced call going. So people see that going on and, you know, we have all of deal funding and everything. So now that we're working with people more, all of these older members really want to come back and circle back around to that.
So are those members, you know, we have the, you know, this, I'm just saying for the benefit of our listener, the Land Academy itself, we have the regular Land Academy and then we have a very small advanced group. That we kind of look at because we operate, own and operate offers2owners.com. We can see how much mail, how much data they're pulling and how much mail they're sending out. And invariably it's without I can't think of an exception. When people pull a lot of data and send a lot of mail out, they're automatically successful. I can't think of an exception. So
I agree.
Are there other people that are calling you that are in a regular group that probably need to be moved up?
There are definitely a few, but they're also kind of the people who maybe don't necessarily need the community as much or like it as much. They're kind of more of a take the back seat and don't talk to anyone and keep their head down for a couple months kind of people. But we definitely probably should invite some more of them.
All right, good. Yeah, we've got a few sleeper people in our group, probably, I can think of like six.
Yeah.
Where they've just chosen, they're probably introverts or whatever. I mean, whatever works for you, I don't care.
Definitely.
They're vocal. Like they're invited to these calls, but they just don't show up. Maybe they listen or watch later. I don't know.
Yeah. And sometimes like we don't even hear from them at all later. I'll just, you know, be researching and find a website of someone and realize that it's someone who signed up 3 years ago and now they have so many properties on their sites and it's crazy.
Yeah. All right. So tell us about the new people that sign up. What if, aside from struggling, I think you mean they struggle to just get that first mailer out, right?
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that go ahead.
Well, the second thing I would say people struggle with is just the call intake and kind of, you know, we talk about it on the show a lot too, but the hate and, you know, getting past that.
So how do you help them? If they say, how do I get past the hate? Like, do you guys have any answers? I mean, I know what I didn't do, but what do you say?
You know, now that I have been in the business and like I've gotten the hate calls, you know, I've taken our calls and been yelled at and told all kinds of awful things. So I understand it a lot more than I used to when I started. I used to kind of just be like, you know, that this is normal. It's the first wave. It happens, which it is. But now that I have been on the other side, I definitely empathize more. So now, like, usually I'll talk to those kinds of people and really just try to connect them to the community. You know, if you go in Land Investors, there are 20 posts on the exact same thing of people all going through it. And then just kind of like reassure them about the process and let them know that we've all been through it, that Land Academy is currently getting hate calls on our mailers. So our whole staff gets it.
It's so funny that people get receive these offers in the mail, sellers, potential sellers. And it's just, I never can get used to it. I've been doing this forever. And you know, the wide variance of responses just shocked me.
Yeah, absolutely.
You'll get three people that are real upset with your valuation of their property. You'll get one person that calls right after that that says, wow, thanks, your timing's perfect. I'd love to sell you my property. And then 2 weeks later, you get a bunch of signed purchase agreements in. You know, some of them good, some of them not so good, but it's just like you can set your watch by it.
Absolutely, yep. It's very interesting. Yeah, I accidentally got a call to my extension from someone the other day who was very angry, told me to jump off a cliff from our mailer, but just could not believe that we are getting responses that are positive and then is now turning into one of our buyers potentially.
That's like textbook stuff.
Yeah, 100%.
So what else are the Land Academy, some of the newer people's concerns that, is there something that, I guess my big question is, maybe it's more of a personality type. Is there something that they just can't get over that's consistent that we could improve on somehow, that I could improve on as an instructor or a colleague?
I would say as far as like the program and everything goes, like pricing is the big thing that people get hung up on. But I know that we readdressed it even more in 1.0, which has been very helpful to direct people back there. But I think I love our members, but they kind of want to watch our program one time and then not repeat it. And, you know, you do have to. Like, with any kind of learning, you might have to go back and rewatch a section. So that's a big thing. People watch pricing once and then come to us and say they have no idea how to do pricing. And so, you know, usually if we direct them back to it and help them a little bit, they can get it. But I would say pricing is the big kind of education part that people get stuck on.
So if you think we need some type of improvement upon already what we have that I can put together on pricing, because I'll tell you what, pricing houses, you know, in House Academy, it's like scientific. Pricing land is just, there's a little bit more experience required and finesse required. You got to get a bunch of mailers out there. It's not like there's an easy button for it, like I think there really is with House Academy.
Definitely.
So, I mean, is that what they're looking for?
Yeah, 100%. Everybody wants a formula. All of the, you know, I take all of the sales calls for Land Academy, and that's one of our number one questions is like, so is there a formula? I kind of have to tell them that there isn't really.
Do you think there's a formula?
No, not for how, or not for land.
Neither do I.
Yeah, no, I understand that it's definitely an art in the business.
So you have a couple of choices when you price land, I think. I mean, you can price it. You can go in really hot, I mean really low, as low as you can imagine it. And then you're going to get three or four properties, probably acquisition, three or four completed acquisitions out of maybe a 2,000 mailer, 2,000 unit mailer, and really do well in those. Or you can play it the other way and kind of go in a little bit less hot, price a little bit higher, and do a bunch of deals. But I'll tell you, it all has to be well below the sales price.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds.
Definitely.
So I've been doing it so long. Pricing doesn't confuse me at all anymore. And I understand when you're brand new, it completely does. But
yeah,
you know, you can simplify it. It just has to be, you got to do a lot of research about how much property is selling for or what it's listed for. and just make sure you come in at around 25% of that. Definitely. So I really wonder, Aaron, if you probably have the answer to this. How much of it is just a personality thing? Like, I just can't get myself to take a chance versus, you know, because I don't want to screw it up versus, you know, really needing just some kind of formula.
I definitely think it is more of a personality type, like going back to the kind of people that usually get involved with our program and how smart they are. So they need that.
Yeah, I think so. I agree with you. After doing a bunch of live events, like we have a live event coming up in October, after really sitting and talking with these people for 2 or 3 days straight, I really think that it takes a certain personality type to really just kind of like say, you know what, I'm going to send a freaking mailer. And let's just, you know, if I might get it right, I might get it wrong. There's always a second mailer.
Yeah. Well, and the good thing about pricing that we've all seen is that even if you totally mess up pricing, you'll still do deals. You know, you just come back with a different number, you talk to them, you might get more hate calls or more love calls, but you'll still do deals and it'll be fine.
Love calls. I've never heard that. That's good. Well, really focus on the negative, you know that.
We had someone who, a member who sent out a mailer a couple of weeks ago, we're still kind of talking to him, and he accidentally used the wrong column when he did his merge and sent way overpriced letters. And so he had plenty of acceptances and people who loved him, and then he had to kind of go back and tell them what happened. Yeah. So he didn't get any hate.
So did he, do you know the end of the story? Because this is fascinating. This could be a business model. Like, did he go back in and negotiate and say, you know, I made a mistake and I really want to buy your property for X?
He did. Yeah. I know he was overwhelmed with calls for a while. He has an acquisition manager, which definitely helped him, you know, handle all the calls. But yeah, no, he went back, he negotiated, he's doing deals. He was very stressed about it for a little while, but he's doing great now.
All right. So that's the positive. Every customer service sales operation has, you know, a small group of people or at least one or two people who just have some serious trouble grasping the basic stuff. So tell us about that.
You know, what's really kind of good about that is if it isn't going to work for people, they kind of figure it out really early on, you know, within like a couple of days of going through the program. They kind of decide and know that that's not for their personality. They don't think they can handle it. But, you know, it is a technical thing. I think some people sign up and assume we're going to basically hand a business to them. And that's, you know, not the case. We teach you how to create your business and everything. I think that's the biggest type of person that kind of decides that it isn't for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, so I've been saying it for years. I'll say it again. There is definitely kind of a recipe on my end for people who, like, if I look at all the ultra successful people in our group, they're very similar. You know, they had some version. They were successful at whatever they were doing before they found us.
Absolutely.
And then to take it a step further, they already maybe had some type of business on their own that was some type of online business, seems to be the consistency, like a e-commerce business, or we got one guy who's just killing it right now, who has an online-driven home improvement, like home renovation.
Yep.
Company. He doesn't renovate his own homes, but he goes home and changes out your kitchen and your bathrooms and renovates your house, remodels your house. So it's the trials and tribulations of owning a company and staffing and handling payroll and all that stuff that seems to trip people up more, more than the actual buying and selling real estate.
Absolutely. Even just trying to staff up. Like, I know we get calls questions every week on our member calls about people trying to staff up and how to handle that.
Yeah. I have to say that's been my biggest personal challenge with Land Academy and House Academy itself. Not so much our land acquisition operation, but is staffing for people and trying to understand and train them. And, you know, it's just, I don't think it's specific to me. I just think it's a universal thing. Training people, I think, is a universal thing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So I sort of alluded to it earlier. If you think there's some type of improvement for any of this, you really just think it's pricing. Is there anything else that I can improve on, or maybe Jill?
You know, I really think that readdressing kind of all of the things that have changed and the new tools that you've discovered and things like that in 1.0 really fixed kind of everything that I saw as flaws.
Okay, good.
So definitely.
That's the whole point to these our Thursday member calls, which we're going to do tomorrow. you know, that's why we started those way back in 2015, so that we can on the fly address these things. And so everybody's on the call, we can all collaborate, and, you know, everybody's at a different point, you know? So hopefully those Thursday calls are, you know, I think we're posting those on Land Investors, right? If yeah. Members to go back, even if they can't make the call.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, I think those are by and far the most valuable part of our program, like the community in general, but those calls help people. We have people who join just to be able to have access to those calls and like get the extra support. Like, you know, a lot of people have already kind of been doing this in some way, or maybe we're a part of another program, but we're missing pieces, and the Thursday calls 100% fill in those gaps.
All right, good. I mean, I personally get a ton out of those calls. It's kind of like every time you hear somebody, like an actor or a musician that gets on stage, and if you hear who's done it for a few years like I have, it's that audience feedback that they thrive on. You know, they play to that audience that night, and I really believe that. For me, I get so much out of the questions and the feedback on those Thursday calls, and it really makes me make different decisions about the content that we provide, like the next week.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's a I get out of it, I think, just as much as our members.
Totally. Yeah, and our staff learns so much that we can, you know, turn around and help members with. And, you know, we always are taking notes on things we can do better and things like that. So the calls are incredible.
That's how we decide to release new tools, too. Like ParcelFect is a great example of that. I mean, people are just begging for it. You know, how do you find property? How do you find property? And so you hear that enough times, you just... We get our reactions to make a tool. So, you know, this is more to the benefit of our listeners than you.
Yep, definitely. No, even adding data tree for houses, you know, that came from people's request at the calls.
Exactly. What's the response that you got in general about ParcelFact from current members? And I know it's open to the public for a different price. What's your response there?
It's incredible. We have, I'll start with all of our members have always loved it. I love our members. They'll love anything we put out. They're great. But we, especially with the newest updates to ParcelFact, you know, people are all the time telling us what a game changer it is, how much it helps their business. I took a call yesterday from a member who was having some issues with his account, and he was almost in tears because he was like, I can't find these properties. I need this tool. And it was a whole big thing. And it's true. When ParcelFact has been down in the past for me, I, you know, don't know what I did before it basically. Yeah, 100%. It's incredible. And we have new people all the time who are trying it and finding it, especially since we've updated it. And they all love it too. We have people who will try it out for a couple of days and sign up for monthly. And then oftentimes they even become a member because, you know, they just are introduced to the whole world that way.
That's great.
Yeah, we've only heard incredibly positive things about ParcelFact.
As a listener, so if you don't know what ParcelFact is, it's really easy to go on the internet and type in a physical address, like a USPS post office address, and find property. But for the vast majority of properties out there, tens of millions of properties, they don't have... They're vacant land, so they don't have an address associated with them. So there's only one or two tools out there, ParcelFact being the primary one, where you can type in an assessor parcel number because there's no address yet and find the property. And then the second version of what Aaron's talking about is you can click through anywhere in the country, really, and find out who owns the surrounding properties, so that if you send a piece of mail out, the property comes back. You buy the property, you can click. This is how I'm seeing users use it. This is how we use it. You click around the property itself, find out who owns it, and they're very typical buyers for that property after you buy it and mark it up. So it kind of just, like all great tools, just came out of necessity. We improved on it, and we're constantly improving on it.
Yeah, no, I'm so excited for the ParcelFact updates coming too. It's just the tool's growing so much. It's so incredible.
Yeah, we're trying to do for the original ParcelFact a floodplain overview. So one of the checklists in due diligence is to see properties in a floodplain. So if we can make that a layer, I think that'd be really helpful. I would use it that day if we could do that. So
absolutely. Even the layers we have, which are all new too, are so great. You know, you can go and see like all the different topography, you can see street view, you can see everything, and it's so helpful when you go through properties.
And access, that's the primary key you can get to it.
Absolutely.
All right, so last question. What's your advice for people who, you know, are on the fence about joining, or I guess more specifically, really question if this works?
You know, I would say schedule a call with me first. I personally take all of our sales calls. Anyone who's even remotely interested, you can just schedule a call with me. I'll talk to you. I'll be 4 years working here, and I've seen it. Like, I've seen people's lives change. You know, I've seen all of our members go from super skeptical. Like, we always talk about Luke Smith, you know.
Yeah.
I saw Luke Smith go from not sure he wanted to buy the program to where he is now, and it's great. I would say really just, and look at the community, reach out to the people in the community. If you don't think it works, all of our members will talk to you 100%. If you send anyone a message on Land Investors, they will tell you their real number, which is really, really awesome.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, on the advanced Thursday call, people share, it's a pretty small group, and people share their actual numbers, and it's a celebration every Thursday with that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I would really just say, just do it. You know, I know people are worried about like the initial cost and investment into land. And I mean, it is definitely something you need to factor in and think about. You know, we definitely have people who kind of assume you can send mail out for free, which is not the case. But, you know, we put out a survey to our members a couple of months ago. And one of the questions we asked was, how quickly did they recoup their initial investment? And of every single person who answered, or of everyone who answered, every single person recouped it in their first deal.
Their first deal, not even their first month.
Yep, their first deal.
I should read the survey.
It's incredible. So if you're worried about the initial investment, I totally understand. But, you know, our members, the numbers speak for themselves.
So do you ever have somebody call in or thinking about doing the program, or maybe they've done a few real estate deals? Or I guess my real question is, do you ever have somebody call in and you just know that it's probably just not going to work for them? I mean, and if so, what's the profile of that phone call and how does that typically go?
It does definitely happen. We're luckily in a very good place with the program. You know, we all know how good this whole tool is and everything, that, you know, I don't really have to like sell to anyone. When I get sales calls, it's really just me answering questions, kind of helping people out. We definitely do get people who call in and I know it isn't going to work for them. And a lot, I think they know too, because, you know, they're usually very like dilly dally. They're like, I was just kind of looking around kind of a thing. And I'll tell them, you know, that I really think they should do their research, that it is kind of an intense program. You do have to set up your own business. You know, it isn't handed to you, and just make sure they're very aware of what they're getting themselves into. Usually the people who do that too are people who have told me that they've, you know, looked at a bunch of other programs, they've maybe just switched jobs. It kind of goes along with what you were talking about earlier. It's not necessarily the super successful people. They seem to kind of jump around between things a lot.
I gotta tell you a funny story about Jill yesterday. And I don't know, for whatever reason, after hours, this is like 6 or 7 o'clock at night, she comes in and to where I am, and she says, I have to share this like fantastic moment with you. She said, for whatever reason, I've been taking this like YouTube online spur of the moment Excel course, and there's all these functions that you can do in Excel. Like, you can summarize a whole column and you can
That's awesome.
And she's got the smile on her face because she knows all of us who are pretty good at this, we come to this whole thing with a pretty good knowledge of Excel, and we understand databases and the value of data, you know?
Absolutely.
I think that's a real good qualifier. So if you're one of these people listening to this and you understand these things and you didn't have to force yourself to learn, it's just kind of like, that's how you are. That's how I am, actually. Then you're probably going to do pretty well at this if you try, you know?
Absolutely.
And so I'm sitting there going, she just had this funny, really humorful conversation. She said, well, and I'm probably going to stop now. And I said, you know, it's a good thing you have me so I can do all this technical stuff. And so that's how it ended up. So my point in telling this silly story is, and you know this, if you're not a data person, but you're married to somebody who is, or you have a business partner who handles all that stuff for you, you can make this work.
Absolutely.
Fulfill the other side of it, which is a lot of sales and a lot of phone work and a lot of talking on the phone. So what I found, and I'm sure you have too, is that you're either one of those two types of personality, and in rare cases, you're both.
100%. Yeah, it's definitely not impossible to learn the data, but yeah, the people who don't come into it super strong need to go through that process.
Or have somebody on your...
Absolutely. Yeah, you enjoy the best combo. Yeah, I think that kind of goes along with the fact that, you know, a lot of our members do come to us from, like, the medical field or an IT profession or something like that, where it's the same kind of thing. They're definitely the data heads.
Yeah, it's almost like it's an extension of what they're already, you know, I'm a firm believer of these careers choose you. You know, if you're my age, it doesn't have to be my age, you don't have to be my age, but I think stuff in life more than we want to believe chooses us. We don't like choosing.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And I think that's why these people, yeah, find us after they're already successful in other businesses. That's just their mentality and how they are and going to keep happening.
Yeah. Well, wrapping it up here, Erin, you mentioned earlier that if somebody's interested, they should contact you. How do they do that?
Yeah, just go to the front page of our website, landacademy.com. If you scroll down a little bit, it just says schedule a call with us. If you click that, it will automatically take you to a page where you can pick any day or time. It's about 15 minutes long. It's completely free. Yeah, if you're interested at all, I would love to talk to you.
Awesome. Hey, we know your time is valuable. Thanks for spending some of it at least today. Join us next time for another interesting episode called I'm the Bottleneck in My Own Business. And we answer questions posted on the online community, landinvestors.com. It's free. You are not alone in your real estate ambition. Erin, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Anything you want to add here before we wrap it up?
I just want to say, just do it. If you're on the fence, send out mail, join the program. You got this.
How many calls did you get while we're on the phone here?
A couple. My team has been Skyping me too.
Well, I'll let you get back at it. Erin Spence of Land Academy, the leader of the Land Academy. I'm Stephen Butella. Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.